From the newsroom of WBUR, I'm Darryl C. Murphy. Welcome to Consider This from Boston. Here on the show, we've talked several times about what we as residents of New England can do to tackle climate change in our daily lives. And one of the biggest areas of control we have over our impact on the environment is how we eat. That's actually the entire focus of Cooked, the Search for Sustainable Eats, which is a mini-series newsletter created by WBUR environment correspondent Barbara Moran. It covers everything from reducing food waste to how to find sustainable seafood. As part of the Cooked project, this summer, the Consider This team took a trip to Island Creek Oysters in Duxbury, Massachusetts, and we learned how shellfish can be a more sustainable food option for people who want to do their part to address the growing threat that is climate change. With us on our adventure was WBUR marketing specialist Briley Weaver, who joined me in the studio recently to discuss some of what we learned. But first, we talked about some highlights of the trip.
I think I will never in my life have the experience that we had at Island Creek. I remember coasting up to the floating, they would probably call it house, I'm going to call it a shed.
The nursery.
The structure on the water.
Oh, the oyster plex.
The oyster plex, the go-to destination for harvesting.
Yeah.
And when we arrived, I was thinking to myself, you know, we've seen some nets, we've seen some baskets or crates. Like, where are these oysters? How are we getting them from the water up? And very quickly, Chris Sherman opened this creaky kind of trap hidden door in the wooden floor. And they were right there, beneath our feet.
We call this a soaker float. And this allows us to keep, especially like in the summer, allows us to keep the oysters cold and in the water. You know, once we pull them out, they start to heat up. So that's the big hustle this time of year is keep them cold, keep the product safe, fresh, high quality.
And you mentioned Chris Sherman, who is the CEO of Island Creek Oysters. My favorite moment was, along with yours, you know, being on the oysterplex, you know, Chris, our tour guide, you know, he was showing me how to shuck the oyster and everything and how to get it out and eat it. You know, it was really cool.
So I get it in there, wiggle, and shake 45 degrees.
Just twist and wiggle.
Twist and wiggle.
Cut the top, clear the bottom.
Boom.
Cheers.
Cheers.
But, you know, for as fun as all of that was, we were there to learn about oysters and how they could be a great addition for people looking to shop and eat more sustainably. Because what makes them such a good option is that oysters don't really take much to farm. They're grown through a process where you basically just leave them. You know, they're this little seed and you just leave them somewhere in the water and they just filter the nutrients out of the water, which helps to balance the surrounding environment. I think somebody said that they leave their environment better than it was when they got there.
Just by living.
So that's what I found super interesting about the oysters. And also another thing that Chris told me was they're really good at taking in and keeping carbon.
One of the environmental services that shellfish provide is they're actually fixing carbon in the shells for the calcium carbonate. And the cool thing about it is unlike trees or plants that sequester carbon and get cut down and harvested and like eventually that carbon is released as the organism dies, this takes hundreds if not thousands of years to break down in the environment. So they're locking up that carbon for a long time.
That said, oysters are not immune to the effects of climate change, right? So farming where they do, Chris said, they're constantly having to adapt to whatever Mother Nature throws at them. But climate issues like warming water create new challenges. For example, he says when the water gets too warm too fast, oysters become susceptible to these diseases. And also, as water gets warmer, it invites new organisms that can cause even more problems for the environment.
The other thing is introduction of species here that formerly never grew in this area throws the balance of the ecology off. Invasive species that do better, bacteria that have impacts on food safety also. You know, these are all things we worry about with warming waters.
You know, this was a moment that reminded me that there's just no escaping the threat of rising temperatures and what that means for our existence. It's easy to feel hopeless, but there are things we can do
to work toward a solution. And so with that said, I am also joined by WBUR Assistant Managing Editor for Newsletters, Megan McGinnis, who organized the trip as part of WBUR's Cook Project, which is a mini newsletter aimed at helping people eat and shop more sustainably. So, Megan, before we get to the newsletter, what was your takeaway from the Island Creek experience?
Hey, Daryl. My takeaway, I had quite a few. It was, first of all, like such a fun trip. But it was also really cool seeing some of what I learned in editing Cooked come to life. So one thing I learned through the newsletter is that food miles don't matter for most kind of food when it comes to the bigger picture of carbon footprint, except for fish. And local fish in particular is like what you want to look for in order to make the most sustainable choice. So like being at a local fishery and then seeing them implement some of these really green practices while farming what our reporter who wrote the newsletter, Barbara Moran, describes as the chickpea of the sea, in the sense that it is just a like super food when it comes to sustainability, because it is a filter feeder and it, like you said, leaves the water better than when it was first added. So kind of seeing all of that come to life was really, really impactful for me.
Briley, how about you? What was your takeaway?
I think one of the big takeaways for me with Cooked, as one of many loyal readers and subscribers, is just the community element being so important. I think community, culture, food, they all tie together. And being able to see the team that does this work every day, gets up early like we did, and you know, we experienced their early shift. It was just really nice to see the human infrastructure and intentionality around fishing.
Yeah. And I think, you know, my takeaway was that everything is connected. You know, we just did a story a little while ago. We talked to Barbara Moran, right, about lawns and how lawns can contribute to the pollution that is affecting the water that the oysters are trying to grow in, right? So it just really reminded me that all this stuff is connected, and whatever we can do, as small as it is, to kind of change things and help, it can have a big impact. So, Megan, tell us more about the Cook newsletter.
Yeah, so Cooked, the Search for Sustainable Eats, is a newsletter course that you can sign up for at any time, and you'll get 2 emails a week for 3 weeks that will kind of, it's like a class, but way more fun than that, that will show you how to eat more sustainably and with the planet in mind, especially if you are a New Englander. So it takes into account the local ecosystems. Barbara Moran talked for 6 months to probably over 60 farmers and food entrepreneurs in the area. And she also worked with students at Tufts, grad students, who were able to help her make sense of a lot of stats and research around the carbon footprints of certain food items. So that way she could start to put some sort of guidance around questions that you ask yourself in the grocery store. So I know I will stand in front of the refrigerator section and look at cheese and be like, do I want these vegan cheese shreds? Do I want organic cheese shreds? Do I want to buy a block of local cheese from the farm down the street and shred it myself? Like, what is actually going to make the biggest difference here? And these are questions that we all grapple with. And she was really able to work with these students to kind of dig down into that, give some really helpful guidance. And then each newsletter ends with we call it the Snacktivist Challenge, and you get to apply some tips and tricks to your own life to see if you can try to reduce your own footprint.
Very cool. Where can people sign up?
They can head to wbur.org/cooked and sign up there.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Megan, thank you so much for breaking that down. And folks, make sure you go sign up. Briley and Megan, I want to thank you both for coming through today and talking to us about the Cook newsletter and for going down memory lane on our oyster adventure.
Thanks for having us. I hope I see you both at a picnic table by the water again soon.
Thanks so much, Daryl.
That's WBUR marketing specialist Briley Weaver and assistant managing editor for newsletters Megan McGinnis. And shout out to Chris Sherman and Island Creek Oysters.
All this week, we've been featuring conversations with WBUR reporters who contributed to this year's Makers Series, which features 15 artists of color in and around Boston. Our last profile comes from WBUR Arts Engagement producer Ariel Gray. Ariel spoke with Boston-based artist Daniel Callahan, who uses a face painting technique called masking to make the internal external.
Before he even starts painting, he actually sits down across from you. It's very intimate. And he asks you three questions. They're very simple questions, but they require a lot of reflection. So I think the first question was like, who are you? And I really had to think about that. Like, who am I? Like, what is it that I do? And depending on how you answer his questions and what you answer with, that actually influences the design for your mask.
Usually when we think of masks, we think of things that cover our face or hide our identity. But I try to use paint to reveal things about people, sort of flip the notion of what a mask is and what it can do.
My face mask was mainly made up of the colors blue, orange, and yellow with a little bit of green. The design was definitely reflective of me. We did talk a lot about nature, but I feel like he just kind of pulled out the fact that I definitely have a warrior spirit, and that's what my mask reflected. Daniel Callahan is also deeply inspired by a lot of Afro-Indigenous cultures, and you can definitely see that influence and that inspiration in this design specifically that he did on my face.
Black people especially, you know, we have so much rich history of having to wear or perform who we are for others because we live in a society that's not of our own. And so there's always been this sort of rather negative association with mask wearing in the Black community, I'm sure in many other communities of color. I feel like the mask work that I do is trying to sort of change that, to bring what's inside out and to wear that with pride and to use our bodies as art forms.
I think there's kind of a freedom and not looking the way that others are expecting you to. I left the mask on for a couple of hours, and it was actually a really cool experience to be driving home from the studio and like just seeing people's reaction like through the windows of me in the car with my face fully painted. In those few moments, I felt really liberated, which was really surprising for me. And that in turn kind of inspired me, I think, to live my life with a little bit more authenticity.
The beauty of the mask was that it allowed me to, you know, tell other people's stories, hear other people's stories, to show people that they are beautiful, they are works of art, you know, to show people that I see them, I hear them, and for them to hear my story too. And that sort of sense of transparency, vulnerability, and connection, we're lacking that, I think, in our world right now.
You can find more on this year's makers at WBUR.org. And that's all for today. This episode was produced by Franny Monahan and Quincy Walters. Our show is mixed by Emily Jankowski, Matt Reed, and Paul Vikas. Our editor is Ben Brock Johnson. And from the newsroom of WBUR, I'm your host, Daryl C. Murphy. I'll talk to you tomorrow. Hey, you're a podcast listener, right? Would you like this show, along with all of WBUR's best news stories of the day about Boston and the region, all in a podcast feed? I suggest you search WBUR News in your podcast app and hit subscribe. You'll be able to find just a local segment of Consider This, plus our best coverage in business, tech, politics, education, and arts and culture, all in one place. Search WBUR News in your podcast app and hit subscribe.